and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you tuned to the broadcast again. We're picking up our study here in Mark chapter 14, verse number 1. Mark 14, verse 1. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread, and the chief priests and scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. And so Jesus has really stirred folks up here, and he's done so by his triumphant entry into Jerusalem, and he's done so by going into the temple and cleansing the temple, and they've asked him about his authority, and he poses to them about John the Baptist, and that he won't answer them about his authority because they don't want to answer about John the Baptist, and that's still a controversy and a snagging point for many in quote-unquote Christendom today. What do you do with John the Baptist? And we understand the purpose of John the Baptist. Many do not. And so we're coming up on the Passover. And understand, as a Bible student, the Passover is an excellent marker point. It's a milestone, if you will, in the Gospels, where you can take the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and kind of sync them up together and put the accounts of the Gospels together. And so the Passover is one of those good flags and markers to be able to do that with. And so it's in a couple days is going to be the Passover, and then the Feast of Unleavened Bread after that. And the scribes and the Pharisees, they want to, in a sneaky way, apprehend the Lord Jesus Christ and kill him. They want to kill him. Why is it that folks would want to kill Jesus? Why is it that people want to kill Jesus? Why is it that people want to kill the followers of Jesus? The Lord Jesus Christ said it plainly. Jesus came and he was a light. He shone a light of the truth upon this world. Jesus said that if he hadn't come, they would have had a cloak. The Jews would have had a cloak for their sin. A cloak is an outward coat that covers the entire body. It wraps it around. And Jesus said the cloak that they had covering their sin has been removed because I have come. He said, I've called them on the carpet about their disobedience and their sin. I've called them on the carpet about what they want others to do that they don't do themselves. So their sin has no cloak, no covering now, and it remains. Because why? They've not trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Their sins have not been washed away. Their sins still stand to condemn them to death. And, so we're coming up here very near to the time of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what it says. But they said, verse 2, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. See, there had been thousands, tens of thousands, maybe even more, that have come to Jerusalem to observe the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So there's a multitude of people. All these people, or many, many of these people that have heard Jesus preach up in Galilee, and maybe even Samaria, and over on the east side of the Jordan River, the Lord coming and traveling possibly over in there, up in Syria, and wherever the Lord Jesus Christ went and ministered. These people now, many of these people have come to Jerusalem, and they're going to be sensitive to wanting to know and hear what the Lord Jesus Christ says, and these religious leaders, they know if they take the Lord Jesus Christ, they'll have a riot on their hands. So that's the reason it says take him by craft in verse 1. And so it says here in verse 3, and being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, and so Bethany's a town a few miles over to the east around the south side of the Mount of Olives, if we understand it correctly, over to the east from Jerusalem, Bethany, that town where Lazarus and Mary and Martha lived, and the town that the Lord Jesus resorted to in these last days. Simon the leper, you reckon he's a leper still? Not being around the Lord Jesus Christ, he's not a leper anymore. But the scripture gives us that distinction. Mark tells us that distinction, lest we get him confused with Simon Peter. And so Simon, the previous leper, no doubt, he'd been healed by the Lord. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, Jesus is there eating with him. And those that are there, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she broke the box and poured it on his head. And so there in Bethany, a woman came with an alabaster box full of ointment, very precious, very valuable, and she takes it and breaks it and pours it on his head. And if we understand this correctly, this same account is dealt with in John chapter 12, and so I want to just refer some to this over in this gospel, because here it says in John 12, verse 1, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead, and there they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. And Mary then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. The account from there on goes and is given, and we understand it to be the same account. In John, it says his feet and tells us that it was Mary. In Mark, it tells us it was his head. And well, she could have taken that ointment and poured it upon his head and also used it upon his feet as it ran down and it would be used. And she, loving the Lord, is doing this because of her care and her love for the Lord, to show her respect unto the Lord and to honor him greatly. Now, we don't understand this in our culture, how this would be an honorable thing, but in that culture it was. It was very, 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 very a great honor, a very high honor for this to be done. This alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. It wasn't something, it's kind of like a lifetime possession. In our culture, it would be well worth over $1,000. And, you know, Lazarus and Mary and Martha aren't exactly, we understand, to be very wealthy folks. But she has this and she pours it upon the head and the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. If this account is not the same, then we see from the scriptures then that it was done twice, once by Mary for his feet and once by some other woman for his head. And if that's the case that it's two separate occasions, then it's even more of an honor and glorifying of the Lord, because he is due to be worshipped and praised. And so she does this. She breaks it and anoints the Lord's head. Verse number 4, and both accounts read the same way. And there were some that had indignation. That means they're wrathfully angered. I mean, their indignation is speaking about not just being mad, as we would say, but very, very much angered. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? Why is the ointment wasted in this way? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor, and they murmured against her. So one case or two cases, the account is the same, where it tells us in the book of John that it was Judas that made the protest and others might have joined in with him, but it was Judas was the ramrod of the protest, saying, we could have sold this. This was a waste. We could have sold this and given it to the poor. The 300 pence is relative in that it's a year's worth of wages. A year or better worth of wages. It says in John chapter 12, verse number 4, then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? John writes, this he said not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare that was put therein. So we see here Judas was the treasurer of the first church, of the Lord's church. And John writes plainly, Judas didn't say this about it being sold to help the poor. It wasn't because Judas was just overly careful for the sake of the poor, but rather he was the treasurer. He had the money bag, and he was a thief. He stole from that bag, and that was known. And so if this just happened one time, Judas is found there protesting, and because it would give him a year's worth of wages into the bag, would have given him great opportunity to steal from it. In other accounts where the Lord Jesus Christ tells the disciples to provide bread for the multitude, and one of the disciples said, well, if we could buy 200 penny worth of bread. I think it's a reference to what they had, if you will, in the treasury, that they had, you know, 200 days, a penny a day was the going wage, as we understand from the scriptures. And if they could have bought 200 days worth of wages of bread, if they could even have found that much in one shot, it wouldn't have been enough to feed the people. So we have another reference that's there about the money that Judas carried. And so Mary does this unto the Lord, or another woman, if it's two occasions, they're very close to one another in Bethany, or the same account. Nevertheless, she does it to honor the Lord, and Judas fusses about it. Let's read on. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? Verse 6, she had wrought a good work on me. For you have the poor with you always, and whensoever you may do them good. But you have me, ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforetime to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of her for a memorial. Jesus says she's done the right thing. She's come to honor me and has done the right thing. Well, see, their time has passed for now. May the Lord bless you with his word and his truth. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn on to State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whipple Rill Creek. We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954. By email at obchurch@gmail.com or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.